So the next verse is actually a most beautiful verse because it is the essence of two verses in the Kathopanishad. Kathopanishad, as we know, the Gita is the essence of the Upanishads, and maximum verses have been directly borrowed from Kathopanishad. So this next verse is a summary of two verses of Kathopanishad. So it is telling us how to go beyond the sense organs. Verse number 42. Indriyani paranyahu. Indriyebhyah param manaha. Manasastu para buddhihi. Yo buddhi paratastu saha. So Indri Ahu. So again Bhagavan says, they say. So again he's not saying this is my original, he says they. Even though he is the Lord of the universe, he gives credit to all the great rishis who have given this knowledge. When he says Ahu, means they say, Ahuhu. So they say, so the, in the Upanishad, the great rishis say, Indriyani para, the sense organs are superior. Sense organs are superior to what? The sense objects. The sense organs can see the sense object. Sense object cannot see, like I can see this blue tablecloth with my eyes, but can the blue tablecloth see my eyes? No. I know this blue this cloth is blue. Suppose I put a red tablecloth. Do my eyes become red? Oh, it was blue, so my eyes are blue. Now the red, it becomes red. No, my eyes remain the same, whether I'm seeing it blue, red, yellow. So the eyes are superior to the sense objects. And the eyes are not affected. Suppose tomorrow this blue gets old and it's thrown away. Do my eyes get thrown away or get sad? No, I just get a new tablecloth. So the sense organs are superior to the sense objects. Now what is superior to the sense organs? The mind. Because the mind decides what I should see, what I should not see. Like today, we all wanted to learn the Bhagavad Gita. So the mind and intellect decided, okay, even though it's Sunday morning, there's a football game going on, but I'm going to go, you know, to the Chinmaya mission so we can all discuss the Bhagavad Gita. So the mind, guided by the intellect, decides what I should see, hear, smell, taste, touch. The eyes do not decide. The mind says, oh, look there is a, you know, fire or there is whatever. So the mind is superior to the sense organs, and superior to mind is the intellect. And we'll talk about how the intellect is superior. So Indriyani Parani Ahuhu. It is said the sense organs are superior to the sense objects. Indriyebhyah Param Manaha. Mind is superior to the sense organs. Manasastu para buddhihi. Compared to the mind, the buddhi, the intellect is superior, but intellect is not the most. Yaha buddhehe. Greater than this buddhi, para is tu saha. That Lord, that consciousness. So hierarchy is given. So there are sense organs which are superior to the object, then the mind, then the intellect, and then that. So in here, the objects, emotions and thoughts, the body is superior to the objects, the mind is superior to the body and to the emotions, the intellect is superior to the mind, the body and objects, emotions, thoughts. But superior to the intellect is Om, that, the consciousness. It also means pervasiveness, like my body occupies limited space, you know, whatever my height is, my weight is. 5 feet 6 or whatever it is, that much space. Mind can think, you know, like you are sitting here, you can think about your children or think about your parents or think about whatever. The intellect, The mind only stays in the known. What I know, it can think. The intellect can also stay in the unknown. That's why the intellect can, all the new discoveries and inventions are done by the intellect, like the apple fell on Newton. And his intellect right away said, why did the apple fall? Why didn't it go up? And he went around asking everybody, why did the apple fall? Why? He said, you're a fool. Apples have been falling for thousands of years. Your father's time they fell, grandfather's time, great-grandfather. And it fell on you. So what is the big deal? Just eat the apple. It looks sweet. Why are you wasting your time and thinking? Apples always fall. Nothing goes up. No, but why did it fall? And that's how he discovered the law of gravitation. So the intellect goes into the unknown. And it is more pervasive. It can think about the possibilities, what I don't know. And it can make decisions. It can decide. And then superior or more pervasive than that is that. Than the intellect is that. That means the Lord, the consciousness, Brahman, which is all pervading, which is pervades everything and is not only pervading this entire universe, but goes beyond even the known universe. There are 14 worlds. It even goes beyond that, pervades all the 14 worlds. That's why they say, Chode lok tumhari shakha, jo dina so aage rakha. When you offer to the Lord, you say, oh Lord, you occupy the 14 worlds, even beyond. But whatever you have given, I offer. That's why when we offer a fruit to the Lord or some sweets, it is, Lord, you have given me this fruit, you have given, and I'm offering it to you. Please bless it and return it to me. That's why when we offer something in the temple and then the priest gives it back to us, we call it prasad. It went as fruit, but comes back as prasad because it is blessed by the Lord. So the idea is that slowly you evolve. Slowly, as we said, first I was only enjoying physical comforts. Then mentally, I should not get caught. I should not get bound. How? By right thinking. And how can I do right thinking? By identifying with the higher. If I think I am this body, then I will just spend my whole life taking care of this body and all its possessions and all its relationships. If I think I am the mind, then I want joy, sorrow. If I think I am the intellect, we get so caught in our opinions. Oh God, person may not be attached to his body or his emotion, but opinions. Oh no, I believe this and this alone is right. And no matter what the world says, and that's what, you know, we are seeing. I'm a Republican and anything the Democrats say is wrong. I'm a Democrat, anything that Republican. So we get so caught up in our opinions, in our ideas, and in the husband and wife, in the family also. A lot of problem is because of that. Difference of opinion. Physically, they both want the same thing. They both want the children to do well. They both want the family to be peaceful and, you know, flourish. And they want the house to do well. But the problem comes when there is a difference of opinion. So they say evolve. Slowly grow to this highest goal. And remember, you have a lot. People say, oh, I'm poor. I don't have this. And so there was this man who went to this Mahatma and says, Mahatmaji, I'm very poor. Can you give me something or help me? You know, how can I get some money? So Mahatmaji said, you know what? I have a very rich devotee. He'll give you $100,000, but just give him both your eyes. Eyes? No, I can't. $100,000 I'm giving you. No. Eyes, no. Okay, I'll give you $250,000, this my devotee. Give me both your hands. Oh, no, hands, $250,000, what am I going to do with if I don't have? Okay, I'll give you $500,000. Give me both your legs. No, I can't give up my legs or all the money. I'll be like a cripple walking around, you know. No. So Mahatmaji says, look, you have $500,000 of legs and $250,000 of hands and 100,000. So the point is, this human body is so valuable. Do not just waste it. There is so much you can accomplish. So that's what it's saying, that the value of this human birth is invaluable. To have this human intellect and this ability to think, do not just waste it in worldly pursuits. My goal of life should be higher, should be to evolve. So have the highest goal. Do not be satisfied with paltry goals. People say, if my children are settled and if I have enough money in my 401k, that's it, that's all I want, then I will sit on the, you know, by the lake and fish. What kind of a goal is that? Or I will sit and play golf. You know, people tell me, I ask them, a lot of my patients are retired, what do you do? I play golf 5 days a week and then I travel. And that's very good, nothing. But that is your whole goal in life, is to fish and play golf and travel? Sorry, that's, you're wasting this beautiful opportunity. And they have plenty of money, they have, they're very intelligent, they have all their faculties, they're maybe 70 years old, still very intelligent, 65, and they, that's all their purpose in life is. Is that all you came to do? No, the goal of life is much higher. Please wake up to that. Of course, I don't tell my patients that, you guys are wasting. He'll never come back. But in my mind, I think, you know, I mean, that's what you enjoy. You know, it's fine. And people who love golf, they are so passionate. You can't say a word again. Or like dogs. If somebody loves dogs and you say one thing again, you're finished. So I try to stay away from these two subjects, golf and dogs, because, am I right? Absolutely. So have a higher goal, choose, because we are always given choice in life. So once you choose Atma, once you choose the self, then none of these three goals matters. And constantly when you choose, then always all choices will come. Am I going to choose the Lord, Atma, or am I going to choose BMI? Am I? And once you have that clarity, that wisdom, that clear vision, and the Bhagavad Gita gives us that vision, gives us the ability to choose. That's what Krishna throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan says, if you do this, this will happen. You don't do this, that will happen. The choice is yours. Nowhere is the Bhagavad Gita, you know, forcefully enforced. He says, your choice is yours. So we are given the human intellect to choose, to think. So choose and go higher. That's what we do in our meditation. We have this Thursday class at 6:30. Some of you come. And that's what we do. From the body, we go to the mind. From the mind to the intellect. And ultimately focus on the self, the consciousness. And so that is how you evolve and you grow and you identify the Lord's presence within in meditation. That is what we try to do. Not experience, but understand or know who am I. So why and so what do we use? For the Bhagavad Gita, you have to use your intellect, because the intellect is closest to the knowledge. So I have to use my intellect. Like if I want to meet the president of the United States, so what do? I find somebody who is very close. Maybe his, you know, personal assistant or chief of staff or somebody. And then I say, you know, I have some very important work with the president. So this person helps me. Okay, I get into the Oval Office and I'm sitting. Now, once I'm sitting with the president, it's confidential. So the person who helped me get there, the chief of staff or secretary, we ask that person also, can you please excuse us? Because it is something confidential I have to discuss with the president. So that person is excused. So similarly, when you and I are going on the spiritual path, we use the help of the intellect, but then don't get stuck on the intellect. Because in meditation, even the intellect is dropped. Even thoughts are ended. And that experience of I, the highest experience, happens. So that is why this Bhagavan says that slowly, slowly from the sense organs, evolve to the mind, intellect, and then to that, and then ultimately know that to be you. So that is the essence of today's teachings, that this desire stays in senses, mind, and intellect, three places it hides. How do we get rid of it? It is sinful. It makes me commit wrong things by yama and niyama, and take the help of the intellect and the guru and this knowledge to reach the highest goal. So thank you very much. These were very beautiful verses. We are almost done with the third chapter. We only have one more verse. So next week, I'll just briefly summarize the third chapter. Then we'll introduce and begin the fourth chapter next week. We have about 10 or 12 minutes. Any questions, any comments? Yes.
Is like killing the small insects is sin?
Yeah, actually Gurudev answered this. He says that if an insect is walking outside, then if you step like children do, you know, just step. Now that is a sin if the insect is not bothering. But suppose your house is invaded by ants, bunch of them. You have to kill them, otherwise they'll take over your house and your pantry. So you have to spray Raid on them. That time you just apologize, Bhagwan.
Yeah, because every time I do that, I feel like, am I doing anything wrong?
No, you apologize to Bhagwan. Say, sorry, I know you are in this ant also. But at this moment, I don't have a choice because this ant has taken over my house. And then you just remember the Lord, apologize, and then spray. And spray liberally. You don't have to. Then. You don't have to hold back. Because there's no choice. You know, it's like a bacteria has come in your family and in your home, in your body, and causing you to have pneumonia. Now you say, Lord, should I be killing those bacteria? No, you go ahead and get the strongest antibiotic and you destroy the bacteria. That's also killing, you know, but that's...
Intention that counts.
Yes, very true. It is the intention that counts. Yeah, just randomly, you don't just go and pluck trees or destroy things. But a weed that is growing in your garden and is taking over, you pluck them. You know, jad se ukhad do, they say, remove them from the root so that they don't take root. Because why? So that my garden may grow better. So that also is killing, but it is like eating plants also. You know, people say, well, if you're eating animals and you're eating plants, they're also living beings, but plants are less evolved. See, there's a saying in Sanskrit, jivo jivasya jivanam. Only a living being can sustain another living being. I cannot eat a rock, cannot eat mud. I have to eat something living. But plant, the life is less evolved than the animals. So again, to maintain my body, I have to eat. But that also is killing, you know. So yes, but thank you. That's a good question. Yes.
If you understand the Gita completely, the whole Gita is based on Arjuna's confusion whether to fight and kill the opposite party or not.
Yes.
So he's eventually going to fight and kill his grand uncle, his guru, all of them. So what, as he says, intention is important, and why you are killing, that's important. So in Mahabharata, ultimately Arjuna is going to kill the opposite party, right? Is he incurring sin? No, not according to Krishna.
It's for dharma, right?
Yeah, to uphold the good, we have to eliminate the bad.
Right.
In our minds too, actually.
Yes.
Same for the soldiers, right? Who are in the front line.
Yes.
The soldiers are going to kill another human being. It's not animals; they are killing the human
being. Right.
But I don't think it's a sin because that's the line of duty. Like for Krishna, line of duty is going to do that.
Right. Right, in my line of duty, and as long as you're fighting on the side of dharma, as Hansa said, as long as your intention is correct and you're doing the dharma, doing the right thing, yes, soldier's job is, that's what Krishna tells, Bhagavan tells Arjuna, that your whole life you were trained and the society supported you, society fed you and nourished you and taught you, and for what? For a time when the country needs you, because the evil has taken over and now you are running away. So you are not doing your duty. So yes.
No, what's happening now is we are actually giving more importance to the object outside. So instead of knowing that my senses are higher than the object, what is happening now is the reverse. We give so much importance to the object that our senses automatically are drawn towards it.
Right.
And then we follow the whole thing after that.
True.
So we need to reverse that process where you can say that I'm more stronger than that object in my senses or my
Thank you. It's very good. Yes. Did you have some?
You mentioned the hierarchy of mind, body, intellect. You mentioned buddhi. Can you differentiate between buddhi and sabuddhi?
Okay, that is jnana and vijnana. Yeah, so jnana is the knowledge, sadbuddhi is the wisdom, that having applied that knowledge in the world, and then I see that how it benefits me, then that understanding becomes buddhi. So that could be in the worldly state, like we said, it could be going to Alaska, as we said, or it could be in the spiritual field, where whatever Bhagavan is telling us in the Bhagavad Gita and Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary, this knowledge I then go out and apply in my day-to-day dealings, you know, with my family, with my co-workers, with, you know, in my other worldly situations. So when I apply this knowledge and then I see the wisdom of that and then it becomes part of my life, that is sadbuddhi. Where then I start living the Gita way all the time, not only in the Gita class, but as I go out, I remember what the Bhagavad Gita is telling, and that's how I live my life. So that is sadbuddhi. That's the right knowledge given by the Guru, the wisdom.
When we use the intellect to connect with God, how do we constantly remain connected? What would be some practical tips?
Thank you. Yeah, that's a very good question. First of all, you should start your day by remembering God. So before you get out of bed, chant His name. Om Namah Shivaya, Shri Krishna, Sharanam Mama, name of the Father and the Son. So maybe 11 times or whatever number of times you remember God. So you start your day by remembering God. Then, in my opinion, meditation helps a lot. So if you are not meditating, please start meditating every morning. And it's good because then your mind is tuned to the higher. We do have classes on Thursday evening, 6:30, which they have been, classes have been going on since 2004. 14 years we have been doing them. So you can learn how to meditate, or if you can't come, I have a video that I have made. I can email it to you and you can go to the website. We have a website that Tony maintains, where you can, there are some guided meditations. The website is called firstpower.info, firstpower.info. So you meditate. Then after you have taken a bath, do a little bit of puja. Maybe you don't have that much time. If nothing else, just even for 2 minutes, you know, just sit in front of the Lord, bow down and ask the Lord to be with me. So that is how you start your day. Then have little reminders, little pointers, like on your car you can have a little symbol of God picture or a little small statue. So when you start, oh God be with me, or, you know, oh, may there be no obstacles, invoke Ganeshji or whoever your Ishta Devta is. Then if possible, which is difficult, but at work, if you can see God in people you deal with, constantly remind yourself. And develop gratitude, because in this country we have much more than we need, much more, and God has blessed us so much. So develop gratitude. Oh, thank you God for this, all that you have given us. Thank you for our children, thank you for my money, and thank you for my house and car and a lot of places the people don't have. They walk on foot, they don't even have a home. You know, this homeless guy pushing this cart, at least I'm better than that. Instead of complaining, be grateful for what you have. And so try to bring God in your relationships, and have little, and on your desk, you can keep a little picture before you start working, just, you know, mentally prostrate to the Lord. On your cell phone, you can have the, what do you call that, screen saver? Screensaver, put the Lord's picture there. But then remember that. And what happens is we get so used to it, that maybe the same form of God, you could get a different picture. Like if you have Krishna, change Krishna's picture. After 6 months, get a, so then again you remember that. And then at the end of the day, when you lie down, again chant the name of the Lord. As you breathe in and out, that's what I try to do, relax my body and breathe in and out. And as I breathe, Om Namah Shivaya or whatever, Om Shri Krishna Sharanam. So end your day with remembering the Lord and begin your day with remembering the Lord. And then also spend some time every day in reading. Reading is very important. That's why these commentaries on everybody has. If you don't have these green books, you could buy them in the office. And read every day a few verses from the Bhagavad Gita and reflect upon them, meditate upon them, especially after dinner in the evening. Sit and study a little bit, because we spend so much time on cell phone, internet and all. So spend some time in my spiritual growth. So the more you do it, then slowly what happens is this knowledge takes over. That's why Gurudev says spirituality is a one-way street, entry only. Once you are on the spiritual path, then there's no turning back. Then you realize all these years I wasted my life. And then this path becomes so joyful that you don't need a guru to tell you, you don't need books to tell you. Automatically you do it, because then you find the joy in this. And ultimately the joy is where? It is within. So the path teaches you, and then you don't need any reminders. You don't even need God's picture, because now you are convinced that is my goal. That is my. So it's stepwise. But thank you. That's a very good question. These are the practical steps that I try to do in my life as Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Makaschit Dukhava Bhave. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah.